In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the feast day of the chains of St. Peter, the veneration of the chains of St. Peter, which are a relic that has been preserved within the church. I believe it's in a monastery in Syria, the chains of St. Peter, which have been shown throughout history to be able to work miracles. The grace of the Holy Spirit that was in the Apostle Peter was infused into his chains, and when people approached them in faith, God has at times worked miracles through these chains. Just as we see in the book of Acts, not today's reading, but in other readings, where we hear about people coming and taking handkerchiefs from St. Paul, the apostle, taking them to people who were sick, touching them with those handkerchiefs, which had simply touched the apostle, and the people were healed. Or in the case of St. Peter, that he would walk down the street and people would bring out those who needed healing and set them beside the road, not so that he could come and pray for them or touch them, but so that his shadow could fall upon them. Because even his shadow was able to heal them when they approached in faith. So we celebrate these miraculous chains today. And in honor of that commemoration, we have a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which tells us about these chains and how these chains came to be associated with the Apostle Peter. After Pentecost, when the apostles were preaching in Jerusalem, Herod the king started to attack the church. And he did it in order to win favor with the Jews, because actually Herod, even though he was king of Judea, was not Jewish. He was a foreigner. And so he was always concerned about the political situation. And so, knowing that the Jewish leaders were opposed to the Christian faith, first he had the apostle James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. And then he arrested Peter and put him in prison and put two chains on him and had him guarded by four squads of soldiers. But we heard in this reading how at night, Peter saw an angel appear who tapped him on the side with a staff. Peter got up and the chains fell off of him. And he followed this angel and the doors miraculously opened for them. Peter thought that he was seeing a vision, that this was just like a dream. But once they had passed through the outer door, they walked down a street. They were out of sight of the prison. The angel disappeared and Peter was there outside of the prison, miraculously rescued from the death that Herod was about to visit him with. So this account of Peter's rescue is a beautiful illustration of three things. First, the courage of the apostles. Secondly, the protection and care of God for his faithful. And thirdly, the power of prayer. So first, the courage of the apostles. And as we think about the courage of the apostles, we can consider the gospel reading that we had today. The gospel reading, which was from after Christ's resurrection. You know, before Christ was crucified, Peter denied him three times. But after he was raised, Jesus came to Peter and he restored him. He restored him by asking him three times, "Do you love me?" And giving Peter the opportunity three times to profess his love in order to negate and void his denials, his three denials before the cross. And so Jesus asks him, do you love me? And he says, yes, I love you. And the third time Jesus asks him, do you love me? He says, Peter was grieved. Why was Peter grieved? Why was he wounded? Because when it happened the third time, he had a similar experience to when the cock crowed after his third denial. He realized, oh, this isn't just conversation that the Lord is giving, but he's making up for the fact of how I denied him before. But as Christ asks Peter to profess his love, after each time that Peter does so, Jesus instructs him, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, care for this flock of believers who are about to gather together around this gospel. Care for them. That's how you can show me that you love me, because love is more than words. Show me that you love me by caring for this flock. And then Jesus goes on to say, to predict Peter's martyrdom at the end of his life. That Peter, at the end of his life, would be arrested, that others would gird him, that they would, others would prepare him, and then lead him where he does not wish to go, lead him to the cross, to his cross, where he was crucified upside down. Because when they were about to put him on the cross, he told the executioners, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. So instead of crucifying him upright, they did it upside down. But Peter's courage is shown in the fact that knowing that this was going to be the result, he immediately goes after Christ's ascension and preaches the word to the people in public with no fear. Think about the difference before Christ's resurrection, before he encounters the Lord and is restored by the Lord. He is so fearful that he runs and hides with the other apostles. They hide. They're afraid to go out of the doors. But then after he's restored, after he sees the risen Christ, after he receives the Holy Spirit, such courage is shown not just by the Apostle Peter, but by all the apostles. Preaching the word faithfully, even in the face of such threats as we see in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles. So Peter, with courage, is not deterred by what's done to the Apostle James. He's not deterred by the threat of execution, but he continues to be faithful, even being thrown in prison for the sake of that faithfulness. But the Lord cares for Peter. He provides for him. He sends an angel to rescue him, in the words of Peter, to rescue him from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Now, consider that Peter's still going to be martyred at a later date. The Lord just has more work for him to do in the meantime. But this miraculous care that's shown by the Lord, even to those who are going to be martyred eventually. We'd sort of think, like, in our, you know, our American efficiency thinking, we think, oh, well, why waste time, you know, in miracles saving these people? They're just going to die anyway. Just let it happen, you know. But no, basically, in the stories of all the martyrs, as they are tortured, the Lord restores them and saves them many times before they're finally executed. Sort of like, you know, like Daniel being thrown to the lions and the lions just act like lambs. That happens in some of the stories of the martyrs, that they're thrown to wild animals and the animals just kind of look at them and, you know, and they let them pet them, you know, and or they're tortured and whipped grievously, and then the next day they come before the judge and all their wounds are healed. These kind of things happen until finally, you know, they're beheaded or killed in some other way. But the Lord shows that our lives are in His hands, and so we can trust Him with our lives, and we can trust Him with our deaths as well, knowing that He is caring for us and doing not only what's for His glory, but also what's for our good. When the time does come for our death, it's a time for us to joyfully exit this life and enter into His eternal kingdom. And He brings us to that moment, again, in His providence, when He sees fit. And after, as long as we allow Him to, after He has prepared us to be able to take that step in faith. Finally, the power of prayer. Because we're told in the reading today that as Peter was kept in prison, earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And in fact, this reading ends, and then after, in the next few verses, we hear that Peter, after he's been released, he goes to the house where the church is meeting, where they are praying for him. And he knocks at the door, and they're surprised to see him, and they joyfully welcome him back into their midst. So, this is an encouragement to us to recognize that no matter how bleak the situation is that we are in, that we ought to pray to God because He is able to solve it. Now, God doesn't always work these kind of miracles in answer to our prayers, but He always answers our prayers that are made in faith. He always answers them with what is for our best. And we shouldn't ever shortchange God by thinking He can't fix this, and therefore I'm not going to pray about it. We should always come to Him with prayer in all adverse circumstances, trusting and believing that He is able to rescue us as He sees fit from whatever we are afflicted with. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we meditate on the example of St. Peter, let us emulate his courage in the face of all adversities and trials, recognizing the providence of God and making prayer that He would care for us in all of those situations. To Him be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.